Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:02 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 15th, and I thought we'd kick off today looking at the pound. It was up another cent 70 in here today. This has really been a very impressive rebound, much sharper than we've seen at any point really in the last 3 years. People are increasingly pricing in the potential that a Brexit deal would not only be reached with the EU, but that it can actually pass Parliament. The big unknown quantity here is going to be the DUP, and they are unlikely to vote for anything that waters down the strength of the Union. So that does represent an uncertainty, and the pound is now back at the upper side of its range against the euro. It's trading back above 115, and this is a rather significant level, although I do suspect that it is going to be rather unlikely that we're going to see new recovery highs if before we in fact get a vote in Parliament. There is certainly the prospect that we might get a little bit of profit taking coming through in the next couple of days just because of the size of the move that we've had. These are big number moves for a currency. But what it is certainly having an effect on is gold when priced in pounds. And gold had rocketed higher when denominated in pounds in the middle of this year and moved to a new all-time high. And that was above the £1,200 level. Now it was down £25 in here today, and it is looking increasingly likely that it is going to unwind its overextension relative to the trend mean. It's done most of the work in achieving that already. That's likely to be the next area of potential support. When we then think about gold in other currencies, well, when we look at it in US dollars, then it was also in negative territory. There is less demand for safe haven assets at the present time, and there has been a downward bias to trading since the beginning of September. However, this continues to look like a period of consolidation following what was a very impressive breakout. I continue to believe that we're still in a new bull market environment for gold, but in order for that to be truly confirmed and for the kind of confirmation bias that would start to draw in more people from the sidelines, then we're going to have to see it not only consolidate but demonstrate support and then push on to new high ground. And that may take a while. We generally know that when gold moves on the upside, it does so in a very swift manner. It can then go through periods of relative inert trading and then subsequently surprise on the upside. That is one of the primary reasons that people like to trade in gold, is that when it goes, it can really go. Silver prices were also in negative territory in here today, down 28 cents. There's also been a downward bias to trading since the beginning of September. It has unwound most of its overextension relative to the trend mean, but not quite all, and it still also needs to demonstrate that it can put in a higher reaction low in order to clearly demonstrate that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. Well, if we then continue to focus on some of the safe havens that are experiencing selling pressure, we're certainly getting that in US Treasuries. This is a peak of at least near-term significance. We do have a lower rally high. There has been a very clear uptrend since about this time last year, and the defining characteristic has been a series of ranges one above another. The most recent range has been rather larger than all others that have taken place so far over the last 12 months. And then if we look at the most recent low, it was right in the region of the upper side of that underlying range. If that low is taken out, then it is likely that we have seen a peak of medium-term significance. Now, when we then think about the outlook for the Treasury yield, it did get all the way down to test that 1.5% level, and that has been a psychological level where people have not considered bonds' value. And the size of the dynamics that we're seeing does suggest that there is less appetite for buying bonds at these particular levels. It does suggest that we are going to see additional upside here. I rather think that this is more than a near-term low. It's more than likely to be a medium-term low, but a push above 2% would certainly break the sequence of lower rally highs. The dollar index is also weakening in here, and it was down 16 ticks in here today. Now, this is a much less consistent trend. There have been a large number of failed upside breaks. We've just had another one. The most clear defining characteristic of the trend and the higher to lateral ranging we've had over the last year has been the sequence of higher reaction lows, and also the ability of the index to find support in the region of the trend mean. It does look increasingly likely that we're going to see it come back down towards that trend mean. Well, then if we think about certainly if there's less demand for safe havens, then that does translate into more of a risk-on environment. And the S&P 500 was in positive territory today. It was up about 1%. And it is very close to that psychological 3,000 level. It briefly got up there, didn't quite close there. But this does look like a bullish consolidation. It has looked like a bullish consolidation since we started to see it clearly demonstrating support in the region of the trend mean. When we look at the NASDAQ, then it's also still looking like a bullish consolidation. We had the very clear upside key reversal back in June. Since then, the market hasn't done very much of anything. Well, what is interesting is that it was being led on the upside in here today by the semiconductors, and the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index is at a new high. So that is really quite an impressive move, considering that it really did look toppy back in 2018. And we had the failed upside breaks, the wider period of consolidation, the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and then it came roaring back in the early part of this year. So this is a very clear example of a failed downside break. And now pushing on to new high ground is really particularly impressive. Then when we think about the banking sector, well, JP Morgan in here today had rather impressive results and was able to push on to new high ground. Wasn't quite able to hold all of the move through to the close, but it does look like that we are in the process of completing this almost 2-year range. JP Morgan has been by far the best performing of the major banks since the depths of the financial crisis and after the bottom in early 2009. And the fact that it has been able to also rebound impressively from the lows put in at the end of last year and push on to new high ground is really quite an impressive feat. Then when we think about the banking sector generally, well, Citigroup also had earnings in here today. So did Wells Fargo. They were not quite as impressive as JP Morgan's, but that didn't stop the shares from rallying. And the banking sector is right in the region of the upper side of the range, which has prevailed for much of this year. So it is looking somewhat more bullish in here. Then when we think about the smaller caps, the Russell 2000 index has bounced from the lower side of its range, and it was in positive territory in here today. Now, it has got some work to do. It has to get back above that 1600 point level in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but at least it's not breaking on the downside. Now, when we then think about what's going on in Europe, the potential for a hiatus in the trade war will be roundly greeted by European investors, and the Euro Stoxx index was up to new recovery highs in here today. The German DAX index has also bounced in here and also pushing on to new recovery highs. If we then think about, for example, what's going on in terms of the Italian market, which is also very exposed to international dealings, then it's also looking like a bullish consolidation and bouncing from the region of the trend mean. Even the European banking sector, I thought it was really quite interesting today. There's an article in the New York Times detailing how much money and time Deutsche Bank spent in trying to build a Chinese operation where they plied officials and employed officials with expensive trips and wine, and employed the sons and daughters of senior Communist Party officials in order to build their business, which was a highly successful strategy. That, of course, that is exactly how things are done in China. I'd like to know if anyone has got any idea about how else anybody could build a business in China. Of course, it's being used as an example of the lax standards of governance at the bank. But the fact of the matter is that it's not just Deutsche Bank has been engaged in this kind of activity. And Mrs. Tracy has got first-hand knowledge of what used to go on at a number of the other German companies in China. She was the chief or the assistant to the chief executive of two DAX member companies in Beijing. So she certainly has very clear first-hand knowledge of exactly what has to be done in order to build a business in China, and it is not the kind of thing that regulators are going to look on favorably at home. Well, when we look at what's going on in terms of the European banking sector, it does look like it is finding support around this 80 level that is the region of the lows. What I find particularly interesting is the commonality in terms of the chart pattern that we see with European banks and treasury yields, and the fact that it is bouncing here in a very similar manner. I'm not at all sure why that should be the case, but we certainly have the commonality. Now, when we think about what's going on in terms of the UK market, the continued rally in the pound has been positive for the FTSE 250 because of the domestic focus. And what is clear is that smaller cap and mid cap sectors do seem to be bouncing in a more dynamic manner than they have done in quite a while. And I think that's a rather important factor, that there is the potential that we are past the trough in global growth. What we saw in here today was that global growth figures were downgraded to the lowest levels since 2009. That is likely to light a fire under governments and central bankers globally to provide additional stimulus. I think that's also part of the reason why we're getting an increasing risk-on attitude. When we then think about what's going on around the world, well, with the dollar easing and with the potential for additional stimulus, then, and also the trade war at least potentially moving towards a hiatus, then that should be positive for all the, I think, peripheral countries that rely on both the USA and China having a nice relationship with one another to stimulate global growth. And the Australian market has bounced from the region of the trend mean again. The Australian dollar, which had been one of the weaker currencies internationally, is still weak. They just the RBA is committed to continuing to run very easy policy, and this remains a consistent downtrend that is likely to continue to boost nominal prices. When we then think about what's going on in Hong Kong, well, the protests continue, and the controversy about censorship and China and the international implications continue to animate the media, but the index is at least holding the 25,000 level. It was in negative territory today, certainly not in a dynamic manner. If it can hold the 25,500 level, then we have a higher reaction low. I do think that China and its related markets are more of a trading vehicle than an investment vehicle from the perspective of a long-term investor. But they certainly have been sold off. If we do get a hiatus, then that is likely to be beneficial for the Chinese markets, and they are trading at reasonable valuations if the threat of a trade war is removed. The A-share index is at least steady in the region of the trend mean, but it was in negative territory today. When we think about the CSI 300, which is what the futures market is based on, then it is pausing around this 4,000 level, and it is really going to have to sustain a move above that level to confirm a return to demand dominance, but at least it is demonstrating support in the region of the trend mean. The renminbi was in negative territory in here today, but not in an especially dynamic manner either. The Brazilian market continues to push on the upside. It has been finding support in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. It is being boosted by the weakness of the real, though. And it does look increasingly likely that we're going to see additional downward pressure on the real. This looks like a bullish consolidation for the dollar, but it's most particularly true when we think that the dollar has been weakening against the euro and the pound and the yen, but it is strengthening against some of these other currencies. If the real looks like it is going to break on the upside, then that is not especially good news for the coffee price. And coffee is back below the dollar level. It has been down on consecutive days over the last six or seven sessions. When we look at it on a longer term basis, then the pace of the downtrend has certainly moderated, but the competitive advantage that the Brazilian growers get from a weak currency, that rather prices out other countries' ability to compete, and not least because a number of the Central American economies are dollar-based, so they don't have the ability to devalue their currencies, and that is a significant benefit for Brazil. If we turn our attention to the commodity complex, well, what we are starting to see is China talking about how much it has already bought, but also what it is willing to buy. Cotton prices were down yesterday. They reversed most of that decline in here today. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so we might get some consolidation. If it can break that sequence of lower rally highs over the last year, then that, I think, would signal the potential for a run back up towards 100. But we definitely need to see some follow through on the upside. Soybeans are also a logical place where people should start to look, but it is now right in the region of the highs over the course of this year, and we may get some consolidation here, at least until we see that a deal has in fact been struck. The Chinese have already been buying a significant amount of pork, and it is pushing on the upside in here, and there's been a sequence of higher reaction lows despite the rather extraordinary volatility around the slaughter schedule and the changing of contracts earlier in the year. But it does look like we now have an upward bias to trading in this particular market. And then when we think about the oil market, it was in negative territory in here today. It was off the lows, but still in negative territory. $55 is an awfully big psychological level. It represents a significant area in terms of break-evens for producers. Then when we think about the West Texas Intermediate, that $50 area is a similar level. And this does look like a market with a downward bias. It really does need to hold that $50 area. The one thing, of course, we don't have is a clear spike in energy prices. I think it's very unlikely we're going to have any volatility in the oil price ahead of the Saudi Aramco IPO. It is looking increasingly likely that we are going to see the majority of stock markets breaking on the upside, most particularly on Wall Street, and the fact that the semiconductors index is leading on the upside certainly helps to support that view. It also suggests that bond markets are looking particularly rich at these levels, and that is where I think we've got some of the greatest risk of some selling pressure coming through. When we think about the outlook for the UK, then I don't think that this deal is done and dusted yet, but there's certainly a lot of pricing in of good news already taking place. What that suggests is that people have already concluded the deal is done. I'd be a little bit cautious about taking that view in just the very short term, but the reality is that the UK is trading at a relative discount to just about all developed markets, and that discount will be erased if we get a positive outcome to this Brexit saga. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.